I want to encourage you to read your Bibles through again, starting now. If you haven't started yet, you can. And some of you have said, well, Pastor, I was already in, or I was about to finish up. I was back toward the end of the Old Testament. Well, that's okay. You go ahead and finish that and just start over. Every time you finish, you just start again. And, the last few years I've read through, and sometimes it takes me a little longer than most of you because I study and then I'll see something that's good and then I don't turn into a reader anymore. I start studying and that slows me down. But every time I've read through, I start in the Old Testament. And it just wears me out. I love it. I love those radical miracles. But all of the discipline and all of the sacrifices and all the blood and the stuff and you're like, oh my God, you were hard on those people. And then you would read and you would get the essence of it and the stories. And then you saw it was all just a shadow of the light of the New Testament, the light of Jesus. But then you get into the New Testament and it's like, this is such a joy to see Jesus in charge. So I thought this year I would read the New Testament first. So I'm reading in Matthew right now. And then I thought when I'm done, then maybe I can handle the Old Testament better. So wherever you want to start, but in most books you just start at the beginning, but you can either start at the beginning of the new or the old. But enjoy your Bible reading this year. It's always such a blessing to us. Well, as I said, we're going to join thousands, if not millions, in America and around the world in a fast this week. And I'll tell you what fasting does. It takes prayer to another level. It just kind of supercharges prayer. And there's a lot of things about fasting and prayer that go together that are so intense and create so many great things and brings results to our prayers. And so I want to say this, that fasting means going without food. Okay, some say, well, you know, we act like Catholic Lent. I'm going to sacrifice and fast social media. Or I heard one Catholic say, I'm going to fast beer during Lent. I hope none of you are fasting beer. I hope you're just not there. But anyway, it doesn't mean fasting TV. It doesn't mean fasting. Well, ladies, don't fast cleaning the house or any of those things. All those things you just still have to do. But fasting for us is humbling our flesh before God, humbling ourselves, and seeking God and praying. Now, I do like the fact that fast does mean fasting food. It doesn't mean those other things, though those things are good, especially if you're talking about TVs and movies and social media and all that. Well, if you spent less time there, then you could feed your flesh more. So I want to encourage you to go over, if you have Dish or DirecTV, to turn your TV over to TBN or Daystar or God TV. There's a lot of great Christian channels. And if you're not used to those, well, start looking at them. And if you don't like what's on TBN at that time, turn it over to Daystar. And there's always something good. I mean, you can get some great things. And so go ahead and watch that. I know a lot of people put down Christian TV. I don't. It's been a blessing to me. And to read a good book, take time to read a book. Take time to listen. Go on our website. You can listen to some of my past messages or the guests that's been here. All of our messages are on the website, landmark-christian.org. By the way, you need to take a look at our website. Brother Rick rebuilt it, and it looks very, very nice. But you know what I love about fasting at the first of the year? One of the things is I feel like it puts my 365 days in motion, that it takes care and protection, and it puts a covering over the next 365 days, all that year. And I think that's why we have been so blessed at Landmark during these days of darkness, is because we have sought the Lord in fasting and prayer. We didn't so much fast every quarter this year, last year, but we will this year. But I just want to ask you, what do you want to see Where do you want to see a breakthrough in your home or in your family or in your life? Now think on that before you get there in the morning. Consider that this afternoon. Maybe you already have. Lord, what do I want to see broken through? What do I need to happen in my own family or in my life? What needs to be broken off of me and quit hindering me? If you're taking steps forward and you feel like you're going 10 backwards, then what is it? Use this time just to talk to God about that. And by the way, in Mark 9:29, Jesus said, I'll get to those other scriptures in just a minute, Kathy, but go to Mark 9:29. There was a group of men, the disciples, in fact, a man had brought his son to the disciples, and he said, this boy needs prayer. He's been sick since he was a baby. And they prayed over him, and nothing happened. And so they said to Jesus, the disciples said, Jesus, how come he wasn't healed, and we cast out the devil, and we prayed, and nothing changed? And listen to what Jesus said. Look at this, Mark 9:29, very simple. Jesus said to them, this kind can come out by nothing. Somebody say, by nothing, but prayer and fasting. Jesus said that. There's sometimes that we must add fasting to our prayer. And I know that fasting is a crisis. It's not fun. It's not good. Even if you are only eating one meal a day, that's still a good fast. But I want to ask you, what if you knew that this week's prayer and fasting time, what if you knew that it was going to break something in you and bring the breakthrough that you've needed? Could you do it? Or would you do it? If you knew what I'm going to do this week, that thing's going to be destroyed and I'm breaking through, could you do it? I believe you would if you know that, but I'm telling you right now, some things are going to break. Prayer, fasting and prayer always, always brings results. Now, there is the absolute fast, which is fasting food and everything, even water. You fast everything. That's the absolute fast, even water. Now, I don't recommend that, but Mother Evans, who you've heard me talk about before, she and Bishop, they would call a fast, and that's the one they called. And that was about 30 years ago, and I remember some of the women in her church, they were accusing each other, saying, yeah, you girls take about 5 showers a day. That's so you can get under there and let the water, you know, drink the water. And they started accusing each other of cheating on their fast so that they could drink the water. Well, we're not doing that. I like to have as many people fast as can. Now, if you choose to do that for a day or two or three, then that's up to you. And then there's the normal fast, which is fasting food and water, just water. And there's the partial fast, which we're going to do. And the partial fast, you can take a lot of ways. And the partial fast includes the Daniel fast. Many of you know that one. We've done the Daniel fast plenty of times with vegetables, fruits, beans, and water. And so we've done that one. That one's usually a 10-day or a 21-day. And then there's the fast from... You eat at sun up and you eat at sundown, okay? So, and that one's a partial fast. Well, we've just chosen this one. And we've done Ezra fast, which I'll read to you in a minute. Ezra changed a whole nation on a 3-day fast. Oh, I'm telling you, there's been some mighty things. Even Esther's fast was only 3 days, but changed the entire nation of Israel. So it's not in the time, it's just what we choose to do as a corporate body. So the one I have chosen in my heart is to say just eat one meal a day, and you can eat that anytime you want with any liquids, okay? You can have your liquids with it, but so you can eat any time of the day. I'm not telling you that. But you can choose any one of those that you'd like, but I think there's a blessing in doing what the house does. Amen? So let me take you over to show you a couple of places that I am basing this fast on is Joel 1:14. Look at Joel 1:14. It was good enough for them. It's good enough for us. God says through the prophet Joel 1:14, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land, where? Into the house of the Lord God, the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. So that's what we're going to do. I've called a fast with all of you together, and we're going to come into the house of the Lord our God, and we're going to cry out to the Lord, and we're going to talk to him about some very important things in our nation and in our lives. Now go over to Ezra. This is one of my favorite. We probably based two or three fasts on this. I am not basing this fast on this, though some of these things will come up, but it's just so awesome. You just have to get this in your heart for the next fast that you do, and just receive it. I pray that you're writing these down. Put this in your phone or highlight it somewhere. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Look at this. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might, look, humble ourselves, number one, before our God, to seek from him the right way for us. I mean, we just need to know the right way almost every day, if not every day, every week, or somewhere in the month, there's going to be a place. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, Dee, I've got two mics today. Can you hear me? Okay, so, thank you, Lyndall. So, our fast, we will humble ourselves before God. We will seek from him the right way for us. I mean, it's good to know the right way for your friend or your boss or whoever you're working with or your mother or father. But you have to know the right way for you. What is God saying to you, sir, to you, my sister? Look, you got to know the right way for us and our little ones and all of our possessions. As Ezra is saying, I even need to be able to point my little ones in the right direction. How many know our little ones are going to school and they got some issues facing them? And we need to know the way that our little ones should take. And then they grow up and we're still there for them, but they're on their own. And I pray that they will come in to this fast with us and seek God for these same things. And Ezra was saying, not only to humble ourselves, seek from God the right way, and for our little ones, but our possessions. Oh God, that you would protect my home, my business, my house, my car, everything that belongs to us, our school. We're praying about starting our school. We've got it all cleaned and ready to go. We're just waiting on a qualified teacher, principal to come. And so I'll be praying about that. Which way should we go, Lord? What do we do for the church this year? Now look at verse 22. Somebody may hear something in this. Ezra says, well, I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon all those, I'm sorry, the hand of God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all those who have forsaken him. He said, so I didn't go to the king because I told him that we loved God and we served him and his hand was against the enemy. So I'm just going to leave that alone. Look at verse 23. Here it is, church. Look at this. Look at this. So we fasted and entreated our God. That means we prayed for this. We fasted and we prayed. We entreated our God for this. And look at this. He answered our prayers. And that's where we must go, church. We've got to have some answers. This thing just can't keep going and going. All right, can I show you something else? I wasn't intending to do this, but I'm going to. Go to Isaiah for just a moment. Go over to Isaiah, Kathy, with me. Verse 31. I'm going to try to be as brief as I can with this. Look at Isaiah 31 and 4. For thus the Lord has spoken to me. And I know he did. He spoke this to me very early this morning. Not a part of my message, but I just want you to have it. D, I told you I wasn't going to release it, but you got to do it right now. Okay, look at this. As a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against that lion, against that devil, he would not be afraid of their voice. The devil has laughed at the church this last couple of years. He's just roared and roared and said what he's going to do and spread that pandemic. And he's just roared, but he was not afraid of our voices, nor was he disturbed by our noise. Look at this. So the Lord of hosts will come down. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion. That's us, and for its hill. From Mount Zion, his church, and all that belongs to them, like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem, America, his people. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over it, he will preserve it. Amen? Did you hear that, church? So God says, I'm sick and tired of this devil blowing and going and not listening, and the shepherds and the church rise up and pray, but I'm ready to come in and do it. So come on, church, let's fast and pray and bring these strongholds down in Jesus' name. Every year it has changed things in our church. Every year it has changed things in our lives. So what does fasting do? Well, it certainly releases God's power and it releases his wisdom. I told you Wednesday night, please come to Wednesday night prayer. I'm going to put that on my prayer list to pray that Wednesday night prayer will become like Times Square. It will be the greatest service that we have in this house because it is the most powerful. On Wednesday night, I said read and the Proverbs. Start reading the book of Proverbs. Just add it to your Bible reading. Those first few chapters, especially 7 and 8. Read chapter 8 if you didn't read it this week. About the wisdom of God. Now, if we can get the wisdom of God, and Lord knows we can, he said, you ask me for it, and I will give it to you liberally or abundantly. And then when he says that wisdom comes out of my mouth, out of God's mouth, and it comes into your heart, it changes things. Wisdom says, I was there when God did all this, before he founded the ocean and set the earth and set the heavens. You just read it. I'll get into it and not be able to get out of it. But I'll tell you what. We've got to start this year with the wisdom of the Lord. Hearing what thus saith the Lord. I'll tell you, folks, fasting and prayer brings answers. And I'm not going to just belabor the point and work on it again and again, but it breaks bondages. It'll just tear a wall right through the mess. I mean, the Bible said, David said, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. And that's what prayer and fasting does. Hallelujah. Well, people at work might see you're not having breakfast or lunch, or maybe you had one of those, not eating the rest of the day, not eating any snack or anything. And they're like, ooh, how come you're not eating? Well, I feel sorry for you. Will you take that to tell them, don't feel sorry for me? Oh, no, I'm getting some good things out of this. God is blessing me. You wait and see some things that come because of this. Well, what are we going to pray for? Again, your own breakthrough. We'll be praying for our own breakthroughs. We've got to, church, as a corporate body, along with millions around the world, Christians, the remnant, pray for an awakening to come. The third great awakening comes just before the coming of the Lord. How many believe we're getting close to the coming of the Lord? Anytime. He said, you'll talk about that, and they will mock and say, oh, ever since I was a little child, I've heard that. My grandpa talked about it, my daddy, and it hasn't happened yet. But the Bible says God is not slack concerning his promise. One thing about the Old Testament, it may be brutal, but I'll tell you one thing. As you read the Old Testament, it shows you how God's word is yea and amen. And if he said it, it comes to pass. It's right on cue. Every prophecy is fulfilled. And the last one to be fulfilled is the coming of the Lord. So we're going to pray for that great awakening, that third awakening to come. The last awakening will be better and, excuse me, not We will be better, but it'll be greater and more powerful than the very first awakening in the upper room. I wish someone believed that with me. It's just going to be, folks. You read your word and you'll find out it really is going to be. But I just pray not only will we have a spiritual awakening, both in the church and the world, but there will be an awakening to the woke. Do you know who the woke is? Yeah, you know. Well, they need a rude awakening, and that's what they're going to have is a rude awakening, and we're going to have a great awakening. But here's the thing. Everybody's going to be awake because it's only going to see God, and he will be the talk of the town. We used to sing an old song, Alice, you remember it. It's just a typical day in the life of a child of God. And it'll just be a typical day to go to work and talk about the major miracle you saw in the house of the Lord. We're going to also pray death to COVID and to the confusion that it has brought. It has brought racism. It's brought confusion to the government. It's loose socialism. It's trying to loose Marxism. I mean, everything under the sun, and confusion on, do I take the mandate? Do we do this? What do we do? There's such confusion. We will come. And you say, well, what good is it, Pastor, just our little church praying for this? Oh, no, it's not just our little church. See, the church is a huge body. It's huge. It's big. And we are just a part of it. And we are going to do our part. We're going to do our part and pray with the rest. And we will come into agreement with people that we have no idea who they are, where they are, and what part of the world. But we're going to also pray against that. But we're going to pray for our own families. Bring a list of your family members. Put them on the altar. And you believe God to break those bondages in the mind and the heart and the soul. Soul ties. Breaking those things. Breaking the lies. Breaking the sin. Oh, how we need that lying spirit broken in America today. Pray for our marriages. Oh, I told a young lady day before yesterday. I told her, Satan hates marriages. If he can drive a wedge through your marriage, he is so happy. You know why? Because Jesus mentioned marriage as the only institution, the only thing that Jesus ever compared to his love for his bride was marriage between a man and a woman. It's the only thing he ever mentioned. And that's why Satan hates it so bad. I'm praying for your marriages constantly. I mean, every marriage in this house, I'm covering you all the time. Not because you got a bad marriage, but I know how the devil hates it. He just hates it. And we'll pray for our children. And we'll pray that LCC continues to grow and be stronger and get stronger and get stronger. I just want to see us bold in our faith and strong in the Lord. Well, and let me take you to two points. And as I was building on this message yesterday, there's two things I thought of. My curling iron doesn't do it as much as it used to. And that's probably because I got all the Christmas lights and the guys put in. Can you just put in more electricity? If I say that, you'll know what I mean, right? I guess you can. Anyway. So my curling iron, when I used to plug the curling iron in, it would short circuit and it would blow a breaker outside. And I'd have to go outside, flip the switch. I knew where to go. And go flip that switch and get it back on. Just always blowing a breaker. And I remember when we used to pray across the street. Greg, you'll remember this. We used to pray over there in that little shotgun shack over there. It's painted red, white, and blue now. And we would pray over there every Thursday night. And the little house, it didn't matter whether you had the coolers on, and it was old water coolers with no pads, probably just a fan blowing. And then in the wintertime, we'd have to have four or five little heaters, and we'd have the little heaters in there, and it was always blowing the circuits, always blowing the breakers. Just not enough power in there. They're just overloaded. It was overloaded. And I began to think about America. I'm thinking, God, how can America become so ignorant? With such knowledge that we have, We are smarter than we've ever been before. The Bible says in the last days, knowledge will just be abundant everywhere. And if you don't know the answer, you can Google it, or you can see it, or you can look it up in a book. And there's just knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Some of the most intelligent people have become the most ignorant. In Jesus' name. Bless their hearts. I don't know how you can think like that and still breathe. The things that they say, the things that they do, and now they were firing everybody that didn't have a shot, and now they're saying, okay, if you have COVID, you're going to go back to work. If you have COVID, now you're just going to have to get back to work in those hospitals because we don't have enough workers. Now, why would you put sick people back in there when that was the whole point? You want them to get shot so they won't be sick. But if you are sick, we want you to go back to work. Listen, I didn't have any years of college. So you know what? There's a lot of people smarter than me. But I can't even train myself to think that stupid. I just can't. Some of the things they're saying today are just mind-blowing. And I'm saying, Lord, they're just short-circuited. I mean, they're just blowing it because they're so overloaded with stupidity. They're overloaded. What are they overloaded with? I thought, Lord, what are they overloaded with? I felt lawlessness. Lawlessness. Listen, you don't even have to go to third grade to have the answer to this one. If somebody, a group of people, are burning down a city, burning down businesses, wouldn't you want to call the police and say, hey, they're burning the place down. Could you come out and take care of this? Oh, no, we're not going to. It's a peaceful protest. Oh, no, it's a summer party. And so they support that. I would call that lawlessness, total lawlessness. Sin is up to here. There is no shame in sin. They're overloaded in sin, overloaded in lawlessness, overloaded, absolutely, overloaded in their own ideology and what they think is right. And if you don't agree with me, well, I'm just going to snuff you out. I'll cut you off of Twitter. I'll take you off of Facebook. You're not going to say it if you don't agree with me. Totally. They've become their own gods. Their ideology has become their own god. How about the shedding of innocent blood? Abortion today. They're overloaded with abortion. Millions a year of unborn babies. And we are the only voice, this remnant I talked about, this huge remnant, which Jesus says is probably a small remnant, but whichever it is, it's a remnant that knows God. But without you and me praying for the unborn, It could be a very, very sad day for not only America, but the world, church. The corruption that's here. And we haven't even mentioned changing God's laws. Now, I don't know if I read this right, because it's so crazy. I'm thinking, surely I read it wrong. Did you hear about who was the transgender male who won the race? Well, this guy won a race. I don't know which race was that. Running. Anyway, he ran. He won. Swimming, maybe. I don't know. He won the race, and then he was in Olympics, or he was in another, competition with another transgender, and that transgender man beat him. And now this guy's all upset, because they were in a women's competition and both males were competing, and the one was beat by the other. Did you follow all that? So they're changing the laws of God. Marriage, the laws of God have changed about marriage. Laws of God had changed about abortion, but that's probably getting ready to be changed back. There's all kinds of things. And the Bible tells us also in Isaiah that Satan comes to wear down the saints. And he comes to change the laws of God. That's the word of God that says that. He things to change the laws of God. And if you don't want to be a boy, you don't have to be. You can be a girl. And if you're a girl, you don't want to be. You can be a boy. You can marry whoever you want. One guy married his dog. So just marry whoever. Now, these are intelligent people. I'm just saying, church, wouldn't you say America is short-circuited? I mean, the power's gone out. The power is out. And the only one that has any power is the church, and she don't even know it. She doesn't even know the power she has. I mean, fasting and prayer alone is very, very powerful. But when you add fasting to it, you've got a whole new ball game. Now, how has, you say, did the church short-circuit? Yeah, I believe the church is short-circuited too. Look at all these empty seats. I think she has. You say, well, how in the world did we short-circuit and blow a fuse? Because prayerlessness. We used to pray. Man, it used to be way up here. Now the church got, you pray for me, you pray for me. Yeah, we pray for each other, but you've got to pray. And you have to read your Bible. And I have that in your face all the time. And I know many of you do. Many of you do. But when we call a prayer meeting in the house, you see all these people in the house. This is a lot. You know how, if we have 30 this week, I am going to be so blessed. But I'm going to believe after this message, we're going to have this many people at prayer this week. We're just going to, because you know the power of it. And you can take 1 hour out of your night, or 10 minutes, or 15, or 30. Whatever you want. I'm not asking you to stay a whole hour. Jesus did, but I won't. Jesus had more faith in me, so I'm just going to say, I'll take what I can get. Okay, so just come and let's talk about some of these things. This is just one time for all week of prayer. Oh, my God, help us, Lord. You know, I wonder if God's people worship outside of the prayer, outside of the church. I wonder how many really worship unless you're on the praise team or we come here and we love, people love our music, Glendale. They love our music. We love our worshipers. We love it. But are you worshiping during the week? Jesus says, when I come back, I'm going to look for the true worshipers. I'm looking for true worshipers. Those that worship me on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday. You'll worship me in the morning. You'll worship me in the evening. And when things don't go like you thought they should have gone, you'll worship me anyway. We used to say, praise the Lord anyway. You can praise him whether things are good or whether they're bad or whether they're indifferent. You're going to praise him anyway. But that personal reading, personal worship. And then one thing that really, I hate to admit this and say this, but it's the truth. One thing that has really short-circuited the church is soft preaching. The seeker-friendly churches. See, because we don't want to offend anybody. Today we're living in an age where people get their feelings hurt so easily. And the Bible said when a heart is hard, that it's like Mark said it, Matthew and Luke talked about the ground of the heart. And it talked about stony ground and hard ground. And when the heart gets hard, then the seed that I'm sowing right now, it'll be just like I'm just tossing the seed out. And it depends on how tender your heart is, how deep and rooted the word will go. Now, if you're familiar with the word and you read the word and you have personal prayer and you have personal Bible reading, then that word's going to go deep and it's going to produce great things. But if it's shallow ground, and you've got a lot of grudges underneath and a lot of hurt underneath, and you don't like anybody and you don't trust anybody and nobody likes you either, you know, that kind of thing. You can get those grudges that you hold underneath, and then this word can't get down there past those big boulders. And when it's hard ground, you just throw it out and it just stays on top. And the Bible says the devil comes immediately, or the birds of the air come immediately. And just eat up the seed because it's on hard ground. It can't even get in because the heart has gotten so hard. So that has hurt the church in these days. And many that I know have become politically correct. And I'm not very politically correct. and I never told you I would be, and I don't plan to be, because the Bible's not politically correct. It's not, church. Are you in here today? And the preaching of a soft gospel and a compromising gospel and a mixed gospel. One sweet sister asked me the other day, what do you think about so-and-so preacher? And I said, well, he's an encourager. He's an encourager, and when I want to be encouraged, I listen to him. But that's where he stays. It's right there with encouragement. Never opens a Bible to read it. Would never offend anyone with some of the things I said this morning. But that has made for a soft, short-circuited church. And it's very scary, church, because Jesus is coming. And it's very scary for us to go there. And then if you just have a soft, peddling gospel all the time and a precious, don't offend me type gospel, you know what that's going to produce? It's not going to produce conviction. There's no conviction. You know, conviction's an old-fashioned word these days. Conviction, you know, we used to go to church and you'd hear people say, "Ooh, Pastor, I had to tuck my feet under that chair." Well, if you said that today, people wouldn't even know what you were talking about. Like, you goofball. Why'd you put your feet under the chair? Cross your legs. You know, but that's what they used to say, because they meant the way you preach the gospel, it brought conviction to me. But the lack of conviction produces sin. I'm not convicted about it. And then you see a brother or sister doing that. And will that take it to hell? I don't know. But if they see you doing it, they say, okay, well, you know, if you can do that, I can do that. So everything's cool. But see, we're going to meet up with God one of these days, who wrote this all to us. And so now if we talk about too many absolutes, then they call us legalistic. So I don't blame a lot of the preachers. Man, I don't want to be called legalistic. I don't want to be called religious and all those names, but I'm going to take a risk. Because the people who want to be here will be. But I'm still required. One day I'll stand before God and he will say, what did you do with my word? And what did you do with the gospel I had you to preach? And I can say, Lord, I was like Gideon. I wasn't the best, and I don't come from the most popular family in town, but Lord, I did the best I could do. And I pray he'll say, enter in to all of us. Hallelujah. My last point is this. I know I'm picking on the world today, but now listen, please come back, you guys that are visiting, because you know, every now and then you just got to. And so, but I think the world has become unhinged. I mean, I know that's a popular old phrase. They're unhinged. You know what that means? But it's like they've just totally come unhinged. And I think those are pretty fancy doors with a little air pump on them or something. I don't know. I would suppose they have hinges. But all of our doors at home have hinges. And if that hinge comes out, that door's going to fall down. And so something has happened to the world and they've become unhinged. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what do you say about that? Lord, back me up with this word or I'll back you up. Look at Matthew, and I'm telling you, I'm bringing it down now. This is my last point. Look at Matthew. Hallelujah. Jesus will settle the score for us. He'll tell us about it. Look at Matthew 22. Thank you, Jesus. Here's Jesus' answer. When you say, Lord, why has the world become so unhinged? Why does it seem like things are caving in, even in some places in the church? And here's what he said in Matthew 22. Look at verse, we'll read verse 34. Let's back it up a little bit to Matthew 22, 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, saying, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment, or the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Look, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. I'm glad he didn't just say your heart, but he said with your mind too. I want your mind filled with love for me. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's just like a door hanging. You got two hinges. He said one's a law and one's a prophets. So if you want to understand the law or the prophets, he said, read my word, which would be the Old Testament at that time. You have to have the meaning of it. You have to understand. But if we don't read this, then we won't understand the Bible prophecies, the words of the prophets, and the words that God set in motion. So all of this hangs on those two things. And today, the universities, especially in America, university professors are teaching their students a bunch of hogwash, and psychology classes are just messing with kids like you would not believe, and adults. But the government leaders, the world, they're just throwing God out. In the 60s, they kicked God out of the school. We don't want you here. The only thing is God can go anywhere he wants to go. He can go anywhere he wants, and prayer and fasting sends him into places. You got somebody in prison, pray. Prayer goes right in. The power of God will go right in there. We couldn't go in the hospitals when people had COVID, but prayer would go right in there. You've got to send prayer where your loved ones are, and they don't want you around. They don't want no part of you. Well, send prayer in. It'll go after them. Mix a little fasting with it, and they won't have any choice. So the world, they just despise God. They don't want to believe in him. They hate others that do. They don't like the church. They don't like conservatism at all. And it's all become their gods. So folks, you see, we just got to fast and pray. We must fast and pray. And if you do sin, he has a scripture there to cover us. If you do sin, then get over there quickly to him and repent. Just confess it to him. He's not a hard God. He said, I can deal with this. And as far as your past, forget about it. He has. Just forget about your past. That's past. That's not there anymore. But don't ignore sin. I mean, if sin and habits and bad things are in your lap, don't ignore it. If you know it's wrong and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, don't ignore that thing. Don't act like it. Listen, sin is not going to go away unless you repent. The only way it goes away is by repentance. And so it will make you sin if you leave it. If you leave it and you don't deal with it, you don't get it to God and get it forgiven and get it under the blood, you know what it'll do? It can absolutely paralyze you. And you will feel so empty and so numbed out and so dumbed down. Because you have allowed this thing to paralyze you. But don't deal with it and don't let it take you into places you don't need to go. 1 John 1:9, and I'll close. 1 John 1:9. If you do, because he knew some wouldn't. But he says, if you do, if you confess, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Don't worry about anybody else's. He'll forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, all of it. All of your past, from the time you were a child, you said, yeah, but how about 5 years ago? No, he said, all of it. I'll just cleanse you, man. We used to talk in the old days, I hate to say that word, but way back there in the church, there were songs written about the stains that sin would leave. Remember? I'm stained with sin. You're stained with sin. Well, according to that, he will cleanse us from all stains. Not only unrighteousness, not only the sin, but even the stains, if it stains you. And don't be worried, you guys. Listen, I'm telling you right now. Don't be worried about the harvest of your sin. I did that, and now I've sowed a bad harvest. That seed's still going to come up. That seed's going to get me. That devil's... No, he said, I've forgiven you for all unrighteousness, all lawlessness. So that's why it's important that we get it over there to him. Because, church, all I'm saying today is let's prepare ourselves. Let's come and prepare ourselves, get ourselves whole and clean and without hindrance and without bondages and without the stuff that the devil wants to take us down with, because the third great awakening is upon us. Amen. Stand with me today. Jesus, how we love you, Lord. We want to offer up this week to you. And I'm asking you, Lord, to lead us in the way that each one of us should take. Lord, if every single one of us in this room and in the remnant around the world, if every one of us would just walk in our purpose that you have called us to, that would be more than enough to bring you back. Help us to find that way in this fast. Like Ezra said, Lord, we will humble ourselves and seek you. Lead us, Lord, into ways to feed our spirits. May we feed and eat our poor spirits. Sometimes get so maybe lethargic and hungry. But may we fill up our spirit on the word of the Lord and eat from your hand and eat from your word and from others, Lord. As we bring our families to you, the places we need breakthroughs, you know what they are, but you told us to pray anyway. You said, seek my face first and all those things will be added. But if you're here today and you just want to get everything started right, and you say, you know what, I'd just like to come down there and confess my sins to God. Yeah, you can do it at home. But maybe you might forget about it. I'm going to give you a chance right now if you want to come to the altar, just make an altar around here and kneel down and say, Lord, wash me clean. Forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, all of it. Every stain. And I hear him saying, tell you not to be afraid of a bad harvest. You've started planting good seed, and that harvest will come right up. But don't be carrying a strange child around. Don't be carrying any bad seed. Let it go. Wonderful Jesus, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Anyone else want to come? Come on. Come on, why don't we just come and prepare ourselves? Why don't we just come and prepare ourselves to get ready? Come on. We will be here tomorrow night. Lord, I bless this fast. I bless praying. And those of you that are working, I just pray that you can get some prayer in. If you just fast without prayer, it's not going to do a whole lot. The two go together. You have to have fasting and prayer. Pray and fast somewhere. So you could choose any one of those fasts, the partial fast if you'd like, or liquid fast, but we are calling the one meal a day. So, Father, I lift this fasting and prayer week up to you. We lift our prayer up to you during the week, and in the name of Jesus, may your glory come forth, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what's ahead. I thank you for the results of our praying and fasting, and I thank you that you will convict us and bring people here to pray with us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face toward you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you.